Hello and welcome to Beyond Reproach. This is Stephanie Domingo.
And Tux Lurzel.
Where are you? I can see you. We come to you from Bushwick, Brooklyn, where we record on land belonging to the Lenape Nation, a nation that is one of many still very much out here doing its thing, and we'd like to acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
This is the show about scandals and scandalousness in American politics and government.
Heck yes.
We be drinking, we be swearing.
Fuck yeah. Today, we are drinking
A secret cocktail.
A secret cocktail, yes. It is from the 1970s. My story today is from the 1970s. In the 1970s, cream-based cocktails were taking the country by storm. We had the White Russian, which we've done on the show before already. We also had a cocktail called the Brandy Alexander, which was made with brandy, creme de cacao, and heavy cream. Mm. There was also the Grasshopper, which was creme de menthe,
yes,
creme de cacao, and heavy cream. And there was the Golden Cadillac, which was Galliano, creme de cacao, and heavy cream. I wonder if you might be sensing a theme here.
Yeah. Cream, creme de cacao,
yes.
And some weird liqueur,
yes,
that I've never had before.
So we've got these like sweet, creamy cocktails that had just a few not very boozy ingredients. They were huge in the 70s. I think that their wild popularity may have had something to do with the fact that women were just starting to sort of enter the bar scene for the first time in real numbers.
Okay.
In the 70s. I mean, women were sort of starting to come into the bars in like the 60s, but
yeah.
More in the 70s, for sure.
More in the 70s, okay. Yeah.
That may have had something to do with why these sort of like desserty, sweet, light, not light in alcohol, not in calories.
No, this is a meal.
Sort of like liqueur-based cocktails really blew up. And so today we are drinking
this a was cocktail. Their frap.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I don't like coffee. Here's a frap.
Yeah.
It's like, get out of here.
Three pumps of...
Classics here, please.
So today we're drinking something called a pink squirrel.
Okay. That's a really silly name.
It's a very silly name, but I love it. It is made with a deep red French almond flavored liqueur called Crème de Noyau, along with white crème de cacao and heavy cream. Imagine that.
Okay.
So Crème de Noyau is not actually made from almonds, even though it does have a very intense almond flavor. It's actually made from the pits of apricots, peaches, and cherries. And when this sort of like deep red Crème de Noyau is combined and mixed with the other ingredients in the cocktail, it makes this sort of delicate pink cocktail.
It looks like strawberry yogurt or Go-Gurt.
Go-Gurt.
Do you remember Go-Gurt?
Yes, I definitely do. I never really liked Go-Gurt, but if you froze it, it was good.
Really?
Yeah, you eat it like a popsicle, but
I've never even heard of doing that.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
It's delightful.
Yeah, Go-Gurt was something that my siblings had in their lunchbox, and I partook of them because they were just in the fridge.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, this is. I didn't really get it.
Not for
it
me.
Wasn't for me.
Yeah,
I'm not a big yogurt person.
I like a Greek yogurt. I don't, same. Yeah, I don't dig like a loose, sweet, fruity yogurt.
I don't like fruity yogurt at all. Yeah. At all.
I do put jam into my
same.
Yogurt. Yeah.
But I don't like that artificial.
Totally.
Like weird, just pink or purple.
Totally. But this does absolutely look like a strawberry yogurt.
It looks like a strawberry yogurt.
Yeah. Or Go-Gurt.
Yes. And I'm suspicious.
So the pink squirrel was invented in the 1940s by Bryant Sharp at Bryant's Cocktail Lounge in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It may have originally been invented using ice cream rather than heavy cream.
What?
Yes.
Oh my God.
In the 1950s, the pink
decadent.
Squirrel. I know. Yeah. I mean, it's decadent already.
Yeah. But like they would like blend it up or something?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In the 50s, the pink squirrel was often served at Wisconsin's supper clubs, which were sort of like these old school kind of meat and potatoes price fix restaurants that were sort of like communal, like big open spaces with lots of people eating meat and potatoes.
Very Midwestern.
Yeah. And these supper clubs were also known for serving these sort of like boozy milkshake cocktails.
Is this considered boozy? So,
I mean, it has some bones in it.
Oh, technically. Yeah. I'm like, what are they putting in it?
Yeah. So the pink squirrel fit right in. Yeah, okay. It's not very strong, but it has alcohol in it.
Alcohol, okay. Yeah.
In the 60s, though, Brian's
it's
cocktail...
It's like rum raisin.
Yeah. Like a whisper of rum. Yes. Yeah. So in the 60s, Bryant's Cocktail Lounge was under new ownership, and they swapped the ice cream for heavy cream. And that's when the Pink Squirrel made it out of Wisconsin and into bars across the country.
By the
70s, the Pink Squirrel was everywhere, and it stayed popular through the 90s.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
This cocktail was mentioned by name in the 1988 Tom Cruise movie Cocktail. And it was also mentioned in several 90s sitcoms, including Roseanne, Ellen, and The Nanny.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. I couldn't imagine being in a bar and seeing someone drink this.
Totally.
I would be so confused.
Yeah. Eventually, the Pink Squirrel did sort of fade into obscurity. But that was probably because creme de noyau, the like almond-flavored liqueur, is really, really hard to find. I had a really hard time finding it. Mm. So if y'all at home are trying to drink along with us... good luck.
Yeah.
I found it at Total Wines. Yeah. I mean, it's good.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, I'll be the judge of that.
Yes.
But
I did a taste test the other day, so. It sort of faded away, but now that all things 80s are big with the children these days.
Yeah, it's vintage.
Yeah. The Pink Squirrel is actually having kind of a resurgence
Stop
in the
it.
Cocktail world.
No.
They're
bringing back creamy drinks?
Yes. Yeah.
So many people are lactose intolerant.
I mean, maybe they'll do them with oat cream or something, you know? So yeah, all these sort of like fancy hipster bars across the country are bringing back these like creamy cocktails. And there's a bar in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, at the McCarran Hotel.
Oh, Their
rooftop bar is called Xanadu.
Oh my God.
Yes.
We need to go there.
I know.
Even though I'm like eye roll at the name. For those who don't know, Xanadu is the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen some bad... Is it the worst movie you've ever seen?
No, absolutely
okay, yeah.
not.
Okay, yeah. You you watch a lot of weird, like, D movies.
Yes.
However,
the soundtrack is
phenomenal. The soundtrack
is
great.
Yes.
However, how it was described to me... And by someone named Tux and someone named Xan, was that it was a musical. Not that it had a great soundtrack. It was a musical, is what I was told.
I mean, they prop themselves up as a musical. No, they're like...
There was one song at the end where she moved her mouth and music came out. Everything else was just the soundtrack.
It's a movie where the soundtrack features heavily.
But that was not how it was sold to me. Yeah. And it's very drug-inspired.
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
There's a cartoon in the middle of it.
For no reason.
It's real confusing. Yeah. What a ride.
Cocaine and money.
All of it.
Yeah.
Both in excess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. But anyways, yeah. So there's this rooftop bar in Williamsburg on top of a hotel called Xanadu. And they are slinging pink squirrels at Xanadu.
They would.
When asked about the Pink Squirrel, Xanadu's bar manager said, quote, being in New York at the time of the Prohibition revival was great, and it was great to enjoy these beautiful classic cocktails of that era. But now it's fun to enjoy these cool drinks that were popular in the 70s and 80s. I could hear my
80s?
Joints cracking
yeah.
as I read that.
Yeah.
We were both in our 20s during this Prohibition revival in Williamsburg 15 years ago.
Yeah. Everyone with their suspenders and their mustache
yes,
wax.
Waxed mustaches. Yeah. Yeah. It just makes me feel very old that like that's no longer cool. That they would rather be drinking cocktails that were big in the 70s and 80s. So at any rate, the quote went on. She says, the Pink Squirrel is sort of one of those cocktails that our mothers drank when they were in college. It's one of those 70s trendy cocktails that people were drinking in New York, especially.
Mm.
So that's it. That's the Pink Squirrel. Let's give ourselves a little taste.
Let's do a little cheersy cheers.
Oh, yeah.
Before, let's make sure our yogurt doesn't spill.
When I was a kid at school, learning the golden rule, teacher often used to say, if you don't tell a lie, there's not a reason why you can't be like Washington someday. How could Washington be a married man and never, never tell a lie?
wonderful.
It's so good, right?
I taste the cherry.
It's like fruity and nutty.
This is really good.
It's so easy to drink. And it doesn't feel heavy in the way that you would think it would, considering it's heavy cream.
I was thinking it was going to be so much thicker.
Yeah, it's delightful.
It is a treat.
Yeah.
Okay, I am lies. Tim, strike all of that. Because now I feel like a hypocrite.
Now we have to go to Xanadu.
Cream base, Xanadu.
You're like, Xanadu, cream based, yes, please.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's really interesting. Wow.
I can't wait for the summer so we can go sit on a rooftop bar.
Because I'm like, the kids, what do they know about cocktails? And I'm like,
they weren't around 15 years ago when we were drinking the bee's knees.
Oh my God. We were so old timey. And now the 80s is old timey.
I know. Ugh.
I feel my joints.
Totally.
But we're not old.
No.
Just, you know, we feel old because of this whole, I feel especially old, and I think a lot of people feel similarly because of the pandemic.
Yeah, but it doesn't count. The last.
I mean, I wish it didn't count in how I feel.
Totally. It's so good. I might have a second one before we're done.
It smells so sweet.
Yeah.
It smells like, what does your grandfather say?
Oh, marzipan.
Marzipan.
Yeah, it does marzipan, smell like marzipan.
Which is the sweetest. It's marzipan is so sweet that it, when I tried it for the first time, I was like, this is too much.
Yeah.
And I am me.
I'm going to take one more sip.
Thank you. This is delightful.
All right. So today, I'm going to be talking about a once powerful and well-respected politician who's largely forgotten today. Most people don't remember him. Wilbur Mills.
That sounds a little familiar.
Does he?
A little bit.
Yeah. I'd never heard of him. He was really big in the 70s, like at the sort of peak of his career in the early 70s.
I didn't think of another Wilbur, but okay.
So Wilbur Mills was a tax policy nerd known for being serious, cautious, predictable, and kind of dull. In the 1970s, he was the longest serving member of the House Ways and Means Committee, and he was widely considered the most powerful man in government after the president.
Really?
Yes.
Can I ask a very stupid question?
Please.
What does the Ways and Means Committee actually do?
It's tax policy.
I feel like I should know that, but I don't know.
It's like budget and tax policy and stuff. Don't quote me on that because I don't know like the ins and outs. But yeah, it's a lot of
it. Sounds boring.
As was Wilbur Mills. Okay. His whole career was built on being
so vague.
The Ways and Means Committee is the ones who are sort of supposed to be in charge of investigating Trump's taxes.
Okay, that's right. Maybe that's how I've heard about them recently.
What's her name?
In New York?
No. The black representative from Compton.
Maxine Waters.
Maxine Waters, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Maxine Waters is on the Ways and Means Committee, and she was all excited about being able to get her hands on Trump's taxes.
Can I share with you why I was able to pull up her name? Because my mom is a hater, and she always talks about her bad wig.
Your mom also hated Shirley Chisholm's hair, too.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, correct. That is accurate, yes.
Amazing.
And I, in my head, I'm just like, who was that bad wig? And it came up.
Yeah, there was talk about she was all excited to get her hands on Trump's taxes, but then, you know, nothing ever came from that. I think
they were supposed to be dragged in front of the AG in New York, and like everything, it's been put off again. Appeals, appeals, appeals. How does he have money for lawyers like this?
Yeah, nobody knows.
Whose money is this?
I feel like he just keeps hiring people that he's like, I'll pay you next two. I'll go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The wire transfer.
Yes,
very
exactly.
Like Anna.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Inventing Anna. If you have not watched it on Netflix, really, really good. She's always sending wire transfers. Her dad is.
He's with like a Russian accent and a recording device.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So the Ways and Means Committee. I know that Wilbur Mills was like a super huge tax policy nerd. And everyone was like, oh, there's no, like, he wasn't out drinking. He was like staying up studying the tax code.
Yeah. He was reading accounting books.
Totally. One article said that he held, quote, a near absolute sway over any legislation with fiscal consequences.
Which is all legislation.
Yeah. And one of his colleagues once told a reporter, I never vote against God, motherhood or Wilbur Mills. He was even being considered for a seat on the Supreme Court.
Oh, wow.
That is until the incident.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
In October of 1974, around 2 a.m., a speeding, swerving Lincoln Continental was pulled over near Washington's downtown mall. As the car came to a sudden stop, a 38-year-old exotic dancer in an evening gown jumped out, ran barefoot down the road yelling in Spanish and English, and jumped into the chilly waters of the Tidal Basin Reservoir in front of the Jefferson Memorial.
That is a scene.
Yes.
A 38-year-old exotic dancer jumping into a basin?
Yes. Running barefoot, screaming in Spanish.
Okay. That is, you're setting the scene.
Yes. Back in the car, the 65-year-old congressman was sloppy drunk, reeked of booze.
What?
His face was scratched and bleeding. There were three other people in the car, but his wife was not one of them. No charges were filed. And the congressman was driven home by the police. But the splash from that jump into the Tidal Basin rippled out into one of DC's most infamous sex scandals.
Ooh. Okay. Yes. I'm intrigued. I like an old-fashioned sex scandal. Mm-hmm.
So I would like to propose a toast.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I have a little bit of my cocktail left. It's so good.
So good.
To normalizing sexual adventures.
Cheers to that.
Mm. So as long as everyone in a relationship is agreed and on board, there's nothing wrong with an open relationship and sexual freedom.
Yes, please. Where can I sign up for this?
Yeah. Wilbur Mills served in the U.S. House of Representatives from 1939 to 1977.
Okay.
Being a New Deal Democrat from Arkansas, he frequently voted for policies that helped the poor, but never specifically voted for anything that specifically helped black people.
I mean,
yeah,
he's surprise. A white man from Arkansas. Yeah. Color me shocked.
Yeah. He once said, "I couldn't stay in Congress unless I voted the way I do on these highly emotional issues."
Ooh, emotional. Okay. Yeah. Wink.
Which, to me, feels like a really gutless way of absolving himself voting against civil rights legislation.
Yeah.
Just because he viewed racism as the price of admission in politics.
He's like, this is America. And like, I...
Sure, I mean, but you should be beyond reproach. You should be better
you
than
should
this.
Be. Yeah. You should be. And yet he looks around at his colleagues and he's like, this is... we are the same?
Yeah. Civil rights? No thanks.
Yeah. He probably had money.
But later in his career, he did do some good things for this country, which today that's what he's best known for. During the Kennedy and Johnson administrations, when these sort of progressive social policies were becoming more popular.
Yeah.
He took
a great society,
etc. Totally. Yeah. He took an active role as an architect for policies like Social Security, unemployment insurance, Medicare.
Oh, really?
Pension reform.
Wow.
And tax reform that would benefit the working class.
That's massive.
Yeah. So that's what he's best known for today. If you sort of like look up the legacy of Wilbur Mills, that's what you're going to find. So by the 1970s, Congressman Mills was arguably one of the most powerful and well-respected politicians in the country. A grandfather in the twilight of a long and distinguished career, he also seemed to be the model of seriousness and stability.
He was a grandfather in the 70s? How old was he? He was old?
He was 65
that night
that the car was pulled over, yeah. Yes.
Yikes, okay.
But so things started to change after he tried to run for president in 1972, but he lost his party's nomination to George McGovern.
Okay.
The following summer, he walked into the Silver Slipper Strip Club in D.C. and asked to meet one of their headlining performers, Fannie Fox, a.k.a. the Argentine Firecracker.
Okay.
So Fannie's real name was Annabel Battistella. She was born in a small town in Argentina and as a child wanted to become a doctor. Mm. When she was 20 years old, she was in her pre-med studies in Buenos Aires when she met and married a cabaret pianist named Eduardo Battistella. Before she knew it, she had three kids and a husband who cheated often and openly.
Yikes.
To try and keep an eye on him, she started following him to his club gigs, going with him just to sort of make sure.
I'm like following in like a
car? No, she would like go along with him.
Honey, leave him.
And one night after she was there a lot, one night one of the club's owners asked her if she wanted to join the dance review at the club. She loved the attention she got from it.
I bet.
Yeah.
But she was hot as shit.
Yeah. But she also loved making her own money, even more than the attention she got.
I mean,
she was like, hell yeah.
Obviously.
Totally. The more successful she became, the less she cared about Eduardo's cheating.
This is why men are mad on TikTok.
Totally.
They're like, women think they're so good. It's like, we don't think we're so good. We just don't need you.
Yeah.
to meet our material, like, needs.
Totally.
So yeah. You actually have to be a good person for us to fuck with you.
This is oppression.
I know. They're like, rah!
They moved around a lot looking for work. He didn't really bring in very much money. And she was, you know, she was bringing in money finally, too. But, like, they still had to kind of hop around. Mm. In the early 60s, they landed in Miami, where a friend offered to get her a job at a strip club. At first, she was kind of hesitant about having to take her clothes off to dance. But her friend insisted that it was going to be more like burlesque than pole dancing. Mm. So she agreed.
Pole dancing is fucking hard.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah.
The feats of athleticism
involved.
I think everyone who listens to this podcast regularly knows that my hands are decorative. And I cannot, not even pull myself. I can't hold myself with my hands.
Yeah.
My lower body's too heavy.
What do they call those, like, white ladies fitness, stripper fitness?
Oh, where, yeah. Yeah. I could never.
But so her career really took off when she started doing this sort of burlesque acts in Miami. But her agent told her there was even more money in Maryland than in Miami. So they moved to Baltimore. And that's when she started using the stage name Fanny Fox. The more money she spent on these elaborate glittering costumes and cosmetic surgery, the bigger her career seemed to get. Mm. By the time she started working in D.C. at the Silver Slipper, she was being billed as the Argentine firecracker. One article said, quote, "Patrons of the local burlesque circuit were captivated by her elaborate costumes, complete with 5-foot-tall headdresses and tropical-colored ostrich and pheasant feathers."
What?
"As well as the artfulness with which she removed them."
5-foot-tall, like on
like
your
Vegas
head?
Like Vegas showgirl stuff, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No chicken feathers here. Then, in the summer of 1973, she was introduced to Congressman Wilbur Mills. In just over a year, the whole country would know her name.
Wow, that was quick.
Yeah. Because around 2 a.m. on October 7th, 1974, two U.S. Park police officers spotted a silver-blue Lincoln Continental with no headlights on, speeding and swerving on the road near the Jefferson Memorial. It appeared that there was some kind of a fight going on in the front seat. They pulled the car over, and the next thing they knew, this woman with curly auburn red hair and a long evening gown jumped out of the front passenger side and bolted barefoot down the road, yelling in a mix of English and Spanish. In a panic, she climbed over the stone parapet along the tidal basin and leapt head first into the cold, dark water.
Did she die?
No.
Oh, good. Okay.
One officer jumped in to save her, and he decided to handcuff her when she tried to do it again.
Wait, she jumped into the water and then got out and tried to jump into the water again?
He jumped in to save her, pulled her out, and as soon as they were back out, she was like, I'm going back in there. Get me out of here.
Wow.
Back in the car, they found Congressman Mills and three other occupants of the car, all very drunk. Mr. Mills's glasses were broken. He was bleeding from his nose and scratches on his face. And Miss Fox had two black eyes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Hearing something about a commotion over the police scanner, a TV cameraman rushed to the scene to figure out what was going down. When he got there, he saw a man who looked a lot like one of the most powerful politicians in the country. So he started to approach the scene. The cops saw him coming and rushed everyone back into their car to kind of get them away from the reporter. One officer got into the car, into the driver's seat, and drove the group home. The other officer...
Wait, what?
Yeah. Like, you guys are fine. I'm going to take you home. You're too drunk to drive, but let me take you home.
To have power.
Yeah, I know.
You can just beat up a woman while drunk, driving, and then just be driven home.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't actually driving while he was beating her up, but
but still, he's involved in an assault, totally. And there's drinking happening on the road.
The other officer took Fanny to a nearby psychiatric hospital for observation because they were worried that her repeated attempts to jump into the tidal basin were a suicide attempt.
Did they investigate the fact that she had two black eyes and that she was being abused?
No.
Oh, cool.
The 70s. Okay. It was fine.
I feel like the 70s is when marital rape became bad.
Oh, yeah.
Is when they made a law against it.
That's for another episode.
Yeah.
Wow. So no charges were filed and no names were mentioned in the police report.
Wow.
However, it didn't take long.
I need to get on the Ways and Means Committee. I know. Yeah. And then start my life of crime.
Yes.
I'm just wearing a top hat, I have a cape,
twirling a fake mustache.
I'm going out of my way to be evil.
Dastardly.
Yes. Dastardly.
It's even better than being evil. So it didn't take long for rumors to start to swirl around town about this powerful congressman and the unidentified woman who looked to be about half his age.
So there were, this guy who had the camera, he was able to, publish a story?
He didn't publish a story right away, but he sort of was like,
pss, 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 pss. Oh, okay. Got it. Okay.
Nixon had just resigned 2 months earlier from the Watergate scandal, and the public was hungry for some hot, juicy goss.
Goss.
Give me that goss. So this cameraman who was on the scene that night refused to let this go. He smelled a scoop. He's like,
yeah, I mean, obviously.
Yeah. Mills was up for re-election in less than a month.
Oh, shit.
Yes. So he had one of his aides officially deny that he had been anywhere near the scene that night.
You done fucked up.
Yes.
We have you, sir. Yeah,
exactly. But there was no names in the police report. That was the first thing the reporter went to the police station was like, let me get the report. And they're like, there's nothing in it. But practically overnight, this story was all over the nightly news and splashed across the front pages of the newspapers. It didn't take long for reporters to identify that the woman who was taken to the hospital was Annabelle Battistella, a 38-year-old married mother of three. It took them even less time to learn that Mrs. Battistella had, until very recently, worked as a stripper at the Silver Slipper under the name Fanny Fox. After interviewing a few dancers at the Silver Slipper, it came out that about a year earlier, Congressman Mills had come in to see the Argentine Firecracker and quickly had become a fixture at the club. He frequently came in with big groups of friends, ran up huge bar tabs, buying expensive champagne, and always paid in cash.
Okay.
Apparently, one night, he had even made serious inquiries about buying a share of the club. But when that didn't work out, Fanny Fox suddenly stopped dancing there.
Oh.
Yeah. After that, though, the two of them would still come into the club together every week or so, according to these two dancers that were interviewed. They would often get drunk and have loud arguments in front of the whole club.
Messy.
They had one such argument the same night that Fanny jumped into the reservoir. Upon further investigation, they learned the fact that after 25 years in the same apartment, Congressman Mills and his wife Polly had recently moved into a luxury apartment complex in Arlington called the Crystal Towers. It just so happened that Fanny Fox and her husband also lived in the same complex.
Oh my God, messy.
Yes.
This is too much.
I know. And with that, let's take a break. I think it's time to take a little break.
Hey, this is Brandon from Peculiar Picture Show, the podcast that talks about movies, maladies, and mental health.
And this is Maria, also from that podcast.
So we were wondering, do you like movies? Do you like mental health?
Oh boy, do I ever, Brandon.
Well then, I've got a podcast for you. Peculiar Picture Show is the podcast for you because it is about movies and mental health.
That's right. We use movies to talk about mental health issues like borderline personality disorder, social issues like systemic racism, and other things.
Like how bad Shakespeare in Love was.
Yeah, sometimes we just talk about how bad the movie is.
And we really talked about that one. But sometimes we have games. Maria used to be a teacher, and so she loves to quiz people.
I really do.
So check us out online at peculiarpicture.show. That's our website, and you can stream all episodes there.
Or you can find us on any major podcast channel.
We are back with fresh pank squirrels.
Yeah, it's surprisingly delicious.
I like couldn't wait to make another one. So we got our drinks. We're back. And back on Capitol Hill, Congressman Mills' colleagues could not believe what they were reading about him. They had known this man for years, and to them, he had always been this sort of like distinguished family man.
Like button down.
Totally.
Yeah, you showed me a picture of him before this scandal. I'm like, this man, I think my, what I said was, this man's having sex.
Yeah, I know. He looks like Mr. Magoo.
Yeah. But like I feel like Mr. Magoo could get it more than this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. He has sort of like kind of thinning, like slicked back hair and a big sort of bulbous nose, ill-fitting suit.
Sex work is work.
Totally. Okay? Yeah, yeah.
And I would say the hardest work.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, anyone who could do that is should have all of the money.
Mm-hmm.
We should be giving them all their money. He's keeping this man, this powerful man, happy.
But so he was known for specific...
I'm sorry. I was just thinking about that meme I sent you. I think it was on TikTok of this woman having all these little like post-its. She's mad that she has to work, basically.
Yeah.
And she, one of the post-its is like, sugar daddies want sugar.
I know. Wah, wah.
Totally. Like, ew, no. Just give me the money.
Yeah, totally.
Don't look at me or touch me. Come on.
Gross.
Gross.
I'll send you a picture of
yes.
this. How's that? But yeah, so this guy was known for his sort of like excessive caution and moderation. And many House members.
Knack.
Yeah. I mean, it hadn't been for years, but then sort of things were changing in the 70s.
Compartmentalizing.
Yeah.
Like
totally.
He had his job and then his like wild.
Yeah.
Sexual appetite.
I think that what happened was.
I was about to say, what probably happened? Like, is that English?
When he tried to run for president and lost the nomination, he was like, I've been doing this shit since 1939 and you can't fucking. And I'm like, supposedly the most powerful man here next to the president and y'all can't fucking vote for me? Fuck all y'all.
Agreed.
I'm going to live my life.
Yeah. I mean,
For the first time in my life.
Oh, so he had been holding it in.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, I'm going to be president one day.
Totally.
Because I'm like doing all the things right.
Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah. And then he was like, oh, I'm not going to be the president. How about. You can all go fuck yourselves.
Yeah, and let me make up for lost time.
Exactly.
I could have been having wild sex 20 years ago.
100%. Yeah. Many House members said
when
that they had...
When I look less like a toad.
Totally.
I'm sorry, Tim. I'm not that mean. Cream makes me mean.
Many House members said that they had never even seen him take a single drink in his entire career.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
He didn't drink?
Well, he was shit-faced when he...
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Some
he was
of them,
probably drinking this and getting shit-faced.
Totally. Yeah, he's over there drinking pink squirrels for sure. Yeah. So some of his colleagues tried to explain the incident away, saying that he had recently started taking pain medication.
Okay,
because
I'm sorry to interrupt, but like people know that this was him now. Like,
yes. Okay. Yeah. He had recently had surgery and he was taking pain meds because he had like back pain from this surgery. So a lot of his colleagues were like, oh, it's like he's adjusting to the pain meds. Like he's just acting weird.
Oh. Hmm.
Other people, however, started saying that he was starting to slip after his failed presidential run. And this was sort of further proof that he was like losing touch.
Okay.
Yeah. So Mills decided it was time to make a statement. The story had gotten away from him.
Uh-oh.
So he said, he came out and officially said that he and his wife had...
don't bring her into this! No. Yeah. No, start over. She's not involved. This is trash.
I know. He and his wife had just recently moved, and quote, our new neighbors, Mr. and Mrs. Eduardo Battistella, offered us every assistance during our moving ordeal.
Oh,
and since
no.
that time, our families have grown to become close friends. She's just a close family friend, Stephanie.
Who's helping with the move?
Yes, exactly.
Really neighborly.
He explained that he and his wife, Polly, were planning a party for their neighbors and some friends, when unfortunately Polly broke her foot. His wife Polly had broken her foot and they couldn't host the party anymore. Not wanting to spoil things, she told him to take their friends out for a night on the town instead of hosting the party at home.
Okay.
That, like, they had originally been planning to stay home, invite the Botticellas and some people over to their house.
So Mr. Botticella is hanging out with Polly?
Yeah. And Polly knew Fanny.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. It gets weirder. I'm going to kind of, like, the way I'm telling this, I'm, like, just telling you what the public knew so far. So he says his wife, after she broke her foot, told him, take everyone out for a night on the town instead of hosting this party at home. And while they were out, Mrs. Botticella had too much to drink, and he decided they should wrap it up and everyone should go home. He says, quote, the man I asked to drive was unfamiliar with my car, and among other things, in the glare of the lighted streets, neglected to turn on the headlamps.
Stop this.
As we proceeded home, Mrs. Botticella attempted to leave the car.
There's too many words. This is a lie. Nope.
Mrs. Botticella attempted to leave the car, and I attempted to prevent it. In the ensuing struggle, her elbow hit my glasses and broke them, resulting in a number of small cuts around my nose. About this time, the car was stopped by the park police.
Not about this time.
Yes. And Mrs. Botticella was able to open the door and leave the car. The next thing I knew, she was in the water. Of course, I am embarrassed and humiliated by the entire turn of events, and I want to apologize for the discomfort my involvement caused all of the well-wishers who have expressed their genuine concern for my family, especially Polly, who is blaming herself for not accompanying us that night, even with her broken foot.
Again, keep Polly's name out of it. She didn't ask for this.
Polly's kind of no angel.
But yeah. No.
But you also don't know that yet.
But also, no one is no angel.
Yeah.
So.
So after this, Mills went back to Arkansas for a month to campaign for his reelection. Luckily for him, this apology worked. He won his 19th term to Congress.
Jesus.
In November. While he was in Arkansas, Fanny went to South America to finally get a divorce from Eduardo, Mr. Botticella.
Okay.
So now that it looked like Wilbur's career was sort of going to be okay, Fanny decided it was time for her to focus on her own career. Before they'd met, she was doing very well for herself. She was bringing in about $500 a week at the Silver Slipper, which in 1970s money was around $3,000 a week.
Damn.
But after the plunge into the tidal basin, the entire country knew her name and wanted to see her.
Of course.
She had stopped dancing because Wilbur asked her to.
Oh, okay.
But then after this, she was like, no, I'm getting back in there.
No.
They're about to pay me all the coins.
Yeah. You're not paying my rent.
Yeah,
get
exactly.
Out of here.
Well, I think he might have been. Cause
whatever. Still.
But like, she's like, I need more than rent.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Exactly.
I need to secure the bag.
Yeah.
So she ditched the Argentine firecracker, Monica.
I love that she's doing this at 38.
Totally.
Hot. Yeah. Yeah.
She was a fucking babe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she had some things.
She had some work done.
Yeah, she'd been retouched a little.
And?
Yeah, who cares? She ditched her Argentine firecracker moniker and started marketing herself instead as the Tidal Basin Bombshell.
I love that rebrand.
Yes, the Tidal Basin Bombshell. Suddenly, she was touring the country and bringing in $3,500 a week.
Holy shit.
In today's money, that's like 22 grand a week.
Holy shit.
Yes.
Oh, Wilbur who?
Yeah, exactly.
Wilbur what?
Yeah, Wilbur Mills. Maybe Wilmer Valderrama.
Don't. And that is a maybe.
Maybe.
That is a maybe. Like, he has to bring other things.
Yeah. $22,000 a week.
I mean, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah.
So Wilbur still tries to talk to her? Bless his heart.
I know.
Aww.
Well, just as things are starting to look like they're going to work out for everyone, Wilbur got reelected. She's making all this money. Wilbur did something truly mind-boggling. One night, she was at a club performance in Boston. She's touring all over the country. She's in Boston. He showed up stinking drunk, reportedly after drinking 2 bottles of vodka. 2 bottles. This old man who doesn't drink. At the end of her act, he stumbled into the wings, and as he teetered just off stage. Alive. I know, seriously. Yeah. He's literally standing just behind the curtain of the stage, like swaying and teetering. And she suddenly realized the audience could see him. Depending on where you're sitting in the theater, some people could see him. So she's like, okay, I got to do something. And she tries to make light of the situation. She says, ladies and gentlemen, I have a visitor for you. And he wants to say hello. Mr. Mills, where are you?
No.
Here I am, he says.
No!
With a grin on his face as he walks onto stage.
Drunkenness.
The crowd began to holler and whistle and stomp.
Wow, he's on the stage.
He grabs a microphone.
No, he doesn't.
Walks to center stage and Jesus. He's like rambling incoherently, completely shit-faced.
Oh my God. I want to throw a blanket over him.
Yeah.
No one look at him.
I know.
Grandpa's sick.
Back in my day, we used to tell him stories that don't go anywhere. So Fanny kissed him on the cheek and kind of ushers him off stage. Like, let's go. Come on, Grandpa. Yeah. But there's reporters backstage.
Oh, no.
They had found out that he was coming to Boston. We're like, well, we know where he's going.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Why else would he be going to Boston while she's there? So they show up at the theater. She gets the cane and pulls him off stage.
Yeah.
And the reporters are back there like, oh, hi, what's going on? And he proceeds to give one of the most embarrassing press conferences ever captured on film.
It's on film. Yes.
I couldn't find it, but So he's slurring his words, could barely stand.
Oh, man.
And he tells reporters that he's going to take over Fanny's talent management.
Oh, my God.
He's going to make her a movie star. And his wife is all for it. She wants him to go for it.
Leave Polly out of this.
Yeah. So he, when pressed, the reporters are like, wait, what? No, I don't. I do have a photo of him at this thing, and she's kind of just like, what's happening? Oh, and he's like, yay! Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, I really don't like when people are publicly embarrassed.
So that's him. He's all like, woo! And she's looking down like, God.
She's wishing she was on a different plane of existence.
And here, she's like trying to smile for the camera, but he's like, rah! The press is kind of like, okay, so what are you talking about now? What's happening? And he starts to get angry.
Oh.
And he's like, all of Fanny's future performances are canceled. I'm going to make her a movie star, but she's not doing this anymore. She's not dancing anymore for y'all. And then he's slurring his words and kind of out of nowhere. I don't know if somebody asked him something, but he goes, this won't ruin me. Nothing can ruin me.
Yes.
It ruined him.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It ruined him.
You can't say that out loud.
It was a wrap. Back in Washington.
Was supposed to be internal monologue. I know.
He's saying the quiet parts.
He is. Nothing could ruin me. You're not an evil villain. Like, you're not in a Batman film. Stop.
So back in Washington, his colleagues turned against him. They were like, okay, we tried to give you the benefit of the doubt after the first time, but now, like, no, girl, you got to go. So they basically sort of like force him to resign his chairmanship from the Ways and Means Committee.
Mm.
And after that, he joined Alcoholics Anonymous.
Oh, okay.
And he actually went into a treatment facility for like months and months, was gone, just disappeared. When he came out, he claims that he has no memory of the entire year of 1974. I don't remember the entire year.
That's not how a blackout works.
I know. Let alone that night in front of reporters in Boston. No, he doesn't remember the entire year.
Oh, well, that's
year.
Good because we have the footage.
Yeah.
This totally. Was you.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll put these pictures I have of the two of them on our Instagram. So he blames the whole thing, all of it.
Oh, God. Polly.
Yeah, it's Polly's fault.
I'm just like, I don't know. He's blaming...
Like, I blame it all on pink squirrels. No, he said he was mixing alcohol with his pain meds. And that's why he doesn't remember an entire year of his life. That's when he was still a lawmaker, legislator. Like,
okay, so you're saying that you shouldn't be an office.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So now that he was sober, he kind of realized how disastrous his relationship with Fanny had been and decided that he needed to focus on fixing his marriage with Polly.
What do you mean? They were just neighbors. He was helping. Yeah. They were helping her move or whatever.
Yeah. With his career in tatters, he left office in 1977. He finished out his term but didn't run for re-election for a 20th term to Congress. And he became an advocate for recovering alcoholics until his death in 1992.
Okay.
He, like, devoted a bunch of money. There's, like, treatment facilities with his name all over them.
That's kind
of
cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool, actually.
Yeah. After that night in Boston, Fanny's career continued to blow up.
Of course. But she's ruined a high-profile man's life. Yeah, like, yeah. I would want to see
Everyone
her and give her money for that.
Yeah, totally. Unfortunately, these like shady club owners were trying to like take advantage of her notoriety. They were like, oh, come to our club, but then, you know, we'll pay you well. But then they started doing all this weird shit to try and make headlines and get more people in the seats. Mm. One night she was in Orlando in December, and one of the club owners arranged to have the police show up and arrest her for indecent exposure, even though she was doing burlesque. Like,
that's fucked up.
Yeah. The judge dropped the charges because there was no evidence that there was any indecent exposure in the first place. But after that, she was like, you know what? Fuck this.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this anymore.
I'm going back to Fanny.
Yeah. So she gave up her dancing career, but instead she started making the rounds as sort of like a B-list celebrity. She's doing like TV talk shows. Okay. Going to like Vegas nightclubs, mm-hmm. and just sort of being like a personality, yeah. you know? She also appeared in an off-Broadway play called Women Behind Bars about a women's prison, starring Divine as the prison matron.
Oh my God.
There's footage of, or not footage, but there's That's photos amazing. Of this too. Yeah, I'll have to put the photo of Divine.
Is it a musical?
I don't know if it was a musical, but apparently it was like a revival of a play from the 50s.
Oh, okay.
It's supposed to be super camp. Like, I hope that there's footage of this because I really want to see it. But there are photos of her and Divine together in their like prison outfits. Yeah.
I need to find these photos.
I know. She also had a few starring roles in some low budget films, including 1975's Posse from Heaven, about a stripper who becomes a guardian angel to a cowboy. There was this really long review basically saying like how bad this movie is. But in the end, it was like, is it good? Hell no. But you won't be able to take your eyes off of it.
Mm, okay. Yeah, that's your type of film.
Yeah. So she also released a tell-all memoir about the whole thing.
Of course.
Called Fanny Fox, The Stripper and the Congressman. Mm. The press release read, "She had the ways, he had the means. Together, they made the front pages."
I love her. Iconic.
And with that, the public finally learned what really happened between the two of them.
They really believe that shit, though?
She releases this book saying, like, this is what actually happened. She wrote that when they met, after the first time he showed up to the Silver Slipper that first night, they became sort of friendly and almost immediately fell in love. This is Fanny's telling of the story.
Okay.
Quickly fell in love and started talking about marriage.
Really?
Mills is going to divorce Polly and marry Fanny. Polly Mills knew about the whole thing and kind of didn't care. Okay. She was over him. He was over her.
I mean, I get it.
They were both sort of alcoholics. Wilbur and Polly were both like getting drunk and getting into fights all the time at home.
Yeah.
She's like, if you want him, fucking take him.
Take him.
Fanny was also kind of saying that, like, Polly was like, you don't want him.
Of course.
Don't do it, girl.
I mean, women are usually looking out for other women.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you can have him, but, like, he's the worst. You're going to see it eventually, but, like, he's the fucking
totally.
Worst.
So Polly was kind of, like, on board and trying to help cover things up for the two of them. But at the same time was like, Fanny,
get out.
Don't do it.
Get out. You're better than this.
At one point, after Fanny became pregnant, Polly talked her into getting an abortion. Polly did.
Oh.
to try and help, like, save Wilbur's career, because Polly knew where her bread was buttered too, you know.
Polly was not working.
No.
This is back, I feel like women could get bank accounts in the late 70s, so maybe this is the late 70s. But
she's already in her 60s, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Fanny admitted that they did have a very sort of volatile relationship. She said that just before they were pulled over on that fateful night, that they were literally beating the shit out of each other in the car, that she was hitting him, kicking him, biting him, screaming. She smashed his glasses.
Did she have alcohol issues as well?
Oh, she was also, I don't think she was as much of like a drunk that he was.
Drinking two bottles of vodka.
No, I don't think she was like that, but she definitely drank a lot, especially when she was around him. Mm. But so she said that she smashed his glasses in their fight in the car that night, which is why his face was bleeding. Nice. Like literal pieces of his glasses like went into his face.
Oh no.
And he had bruised her face in the sort of commotion.
That's why she had the two black eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. When the sirens blared, she said, she panicked, worrying both about his career and the possibility that an arrest could jeopardize her recently acquired citizenship. She said she just panicked.
Yeah.
I had to just get away. So I dashed over the stone parapet near the bridge over the tidal basin and I dove in head first. Down in the dark, deserted water, I dived very deep, not knowing or caring where I would come up. My long, expensive evening dress lapped around my legs, but I felt nothing. She said that after that night, Polly agreed to help them.
She sounds like she was drunk.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So Polly agreed to help them cover the whole thing up and kind of make it look like it was just a big misunderstanding that, you know, they were supposed to have a party, but Polly broke her foot.
Did she break her foot? Like,
I think she had actually broken her foot.
Okay. Yeah. I'm like, did he break her foot for her?
He's like, I'll fix it.
We need a story.
Yeah, totally. Even after Wilbur had gone to rehab and seemingly sort of like abandoned Fanny for Polly to try and fix his marriage, Fanny still believed that they were like deeply in love and that someday that she and Wilbur were going to be married. She wrote in this book, I don't know how the final chapter of Wilbur and Fanny will read. We have consummated a love that no amount of scandal or press can destroy. Even though the labels stripper and congressman are completely incongruous, there was never anything but harmony in our hearts. Que sera, sera.
Wow. Okay.
Go on, Fanny.
I mean, go off. Mm-hmm. Like,
they're like beating the shit out of each other, having screaming really matches, sick. Like shit faced in front of strip clubs. Like,
yeah, honey.
He's also.
Go into therapy. This is not love.
He's a 65-year-old man that looks like Mr. Magoo, and you're fucking hot.
Yeah, there's no reason.
And you're making more money than he is. Like,
I mean, it just tells you how deep it goes.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, she also came from this like horrible relationship where Eduardo didn't give a shit about her, didn't even look at her, and finally she's met a guy that's like obsessed with her.
But then she gets into an industry and everyone's obsessed with her.
Yeah, but he's like trying to make her give up her career so that he can like have her all to himself. The whole thing is just mess.
Toxic.
So after this, after the book and after, you know, her sort of like brief rise to fame and these movies and stuff, most of the articles that I found about this whole story said that she moved back to Argentina and was never heard from again.
Oh, good for her. Oh, shit. No, she's...
It's complete bullshit.
Really?
I mean,
she's in a U.S. citizen now. So why would she
just disappear?
Yeah.
And like, it's just lazy journalism. If you had like looked.
Yeah. Oh no.
You're like, oh, she's not directly in front of me. So like, I guess she's gone.
I don't see her. She's dead.
Yeah, exactly. Just in the wind.
Yeah, totally.
So in reality, what happened was a few years later, she kind of finally figured out that like Wilbur's not coming back for her.
Uh-uh,
and you know what? Sweet. Like maybe I don't actually want his ass anyways because he looks like Mr. Magoo.
Come on. This was not your future.
Yeah.
This was your past.
Totally. Yeah, yeah.
Your embarrassing past. But we forgive you.
So she meets this like contractor who in my mind is like muscly and beautiful. You know
what
I mean?
Please let him be that.
Yeah. Named Daniel Montgomery. She meets this guy and they get married. She drops the name Fanny. She's not dancing anymore. She drops the name Fanny. And as Mrs. Annabelle Montgomery, they move together to Florida. And she decided to go back to school. You know, when she was a kid, she wanted to be a doctor. So finally she goes back to school. In 2001, she earned a master's degree in marine science in Florida.
What?
And in 2004, she got another master's in business administration.
Amazing.
Both with honors.
Oh my God. Magna cum laude.
Both of them. Yeah.
I love this story.
I know.
I love the way this wraps up for her.
Totally. And, you know, she was doing great. They had another kid together. She had all this money, so they like bought a huge house. Yeah. Like,
and she's in Florida, so there's like what, no property taxes in Florida? Something ridiculous?
I don't know enough about that. He would know, being on the Ways and Means Committee. He could tell you. She did just pass away last year, but at 84 years old, she passed away in February of 2021. So now, obviously, this whole like open marriage thing didn't really work out in their favor in this situation.
Yeah.
You know, that's not because it couldn't work. It's just because they were both fucking shit-faced the whole time and he was a disaster. But I am glad, you know, even though that this like 38-year-old hottie had to hook up with the 65-year-old man with a bad suit and Coke bottle glasses, I'm glad that they got to have some fun. They both got something out of it. Totally. She got a fabulous career.
Yeah.
He got to have probably the best sex of his life that he probably remembered until the day he died.
Definitely.
You know, even though it didn't really work out, I think it was good for both of them. Some people listening might be hearing this story and think like, oh, but his career was ruined and her heart was broken. You know, his career was in the toilet already, or at least on its way into the toilet. And
on its way into the toilet.
It had left the...
It passed the rim.
Yeah, exactly.
There was no splash
totally, yet. Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. What really ruined his career was a mix of hubris and vodka.
That'll do it.
Like, nothing can ruin me.
I mean, the fact that he said that out loud.
Calm down.
Come on.
Calm down. You put the nail in your own coffin. You know, I think that if he had kept his cool, if he wasn't such a
mess. Look at him. He's not keeping any sort of cool.
But like if he had kept his cool and they had been sort of more realistic about their relationship together and like what they were getting out of it and where it was going to go. And they weren't talking about like, I'm going to divorce Polly and we're going to get married.
I think alcohol played a huge role in like a lot of this, like these feelings that they were having, these strong feelings.
Yeah. It could have really worked out for...
Absolutely.
They could have had...
If they were different people, probably.
Yeah.
This could have worked out. I'm like, calmer heads. They don't sound like calm heads.
Yeah. But also, you know, in the end, like, he got to have great sex, and she got a fabulous fucking career out of it.
Oh, yeah.
And she still found love in the end.
Yeah.
So really, like, worked out...
This is a wonderful story.
Yeah. I know. I really want to know more about her, and, like, need to see this movie.
Same.
The Posse from Heaven.
I wanna see more pictures of her.
Oh, I've got plenty. They'll go on the old Instagrams. You know, I went into this thinking like, oh, this is a story about this guy ruining his own career for this like messy woman.
Yeah.
But in reality, he was the mess.
Yeah.
She was fucking great. Before she met him, she was still making really good money, looked incredible, was sort of like living with this man who didn't give a shit about her, but she didn't give a shit about him either. They kind of had a...
Yeah, sometimes that's a relationship. Some people just don't want to get a divorce and like they're fine just quietly hating one another and going about their lives.
Well, you know, they had three kids, so I think they're staying together for the kids, but they also, they both, like they had an agreement. Kind of thing where they're
and there's
both
nothing wrong with that
doing their thing,
and
good for her. She's like this, she's the best.
Yeah,
I really want to see
this
play.
I want to be her when I grow up.
I know.
I'm like, this is a great trajectory.
I know. And the way the press handled the whole thing when
she's a woman.
I know exactly
who's like, making her own money, so they hate her.
She ruined his career so that she could take advantage and she could build her own career off of
the
crumbles of his.
Look at her.
I know.
And then look at him.
Yeah.
And then think about what you just said because you sound dumb.
Yeah.
She could buy and sell him.
Totally.
Like,
even
get
before,
out of here.
She's making $500 a week in the 70s.
And it just makes me
before.
Sad. She was still talking to him, but she was in love.
I know. That's the one thing. It's like, girl, you really. And Polly tried to tell you.
Yeah.
So that's the story of the stripper and the congressman.
I love it. This was a feel good story.
Yeah,
I feel really, really good.
Yeah. All right. Let me slurp down this last little sip of my pink squirrel.
So our drinks are let's average and say that they're empty. So I guess we're done.
They're empty-ish.
Yeah.
Still counts.
America's history is juicy. We just add cream and creme de... What is this called?
Creme de noyau.
Creme de noyau.
Who doesn't want to add a pink squirrel to American history?
If you can get your hands on this really weird, obscure, kind of expensive liqueur, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Creme de cacao. There's white
creme de cacao. Yeah.
Delicious. So thank you so much for listening to Beyond Reproach. This has been Stephanie Domingo.
And Tux Lerzel.
Thank you to Tim Clough, our editor, sound engineer, podfather. We could not do this without him.
It would ruin us.
It would ruin us. And we would say it aloud. And it would be true.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Beyond Reproach is proudly recorded in Bushwick, Brooklyn, on land belonging to the Lenape Nation. Please note we are not historians. We are just a couple of drunks who never shut up and love history. Full list of all source information can be found in the show notes on our website. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. Written reviews are especially important. If you like us, please do one of two things. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, or send this episode to a friend, family member, or someone who you think would be into it. Make sure you follow us on Instagram because we post our cocktail recipes the Thursday before each full episode. Please drink along with us if you are not driving. We also have a shop on beyondreproachpod.com. Get your merch, brand yourselves. We have exclusive content on Patreon where you can directly support the production of our show.